Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It has been my extraordinary privilege and great honor to have known for some time now a man of uncommon intelligence, as well as huge common sense, when it comes to matters involving the national security of the United States and so much more. He is Senator Jim Inhofe. He represents with great distinction in the United States Senate the people of Oklahoma. And he, among other things, serves on the Senate's Armed Services Committee. He is the chairman of the U.S. Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee. He is a war veteran from the United States Army and an extraordinary legislator and public servant. And very much welcome him back. Happy New Year to you, sir. Glad to have you with us.
Well, and to you, too. I think we need to tell these people out there how long you and I have been working together. You know, it's been 31 years now, Frank.
Has it really? It just feels
when,
that
when
long.
When I first came, I was in the House before. I had a career in building and all that to start with for 20 years. And then I ended up in the House for 8 years, then in the Senate for the past 21 years. And my concentration has always been in those two committees. One, I've been the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and then, of course, the Environment and Public Works Committee. And there's a reason for this, Frank, and I'll just kind of get this out ahead. There's so many stupid things that government does. But if you'll get out and read that old beat-up rag out there that nobody cares about anymore called a Constitution, it'll tell you what we're supposed to be doing. Article 1, Section 8, it says clearly we're supposed to be defending America, and then they actually get into infrastructure. They call them post roads at that time. So I've always felt that that is our responsibility, and that's why I've stayed on those two committees for all that long period of time.
Yeah, and served with great distinction, I have to say, sir. You have really made a mark in both. Let me talk quickly about sort of the two portfolios of great interest to you. One is in the Armed Services Committee. Just yesterday, you took testimony from the man that the president-elect has designated to be our next Secretary of Defense, General Jim Mattis. It seemed to have gone pretty well overall. Your thoughts on this selection and his prospects for getting the necessary waiver and ultimately confirmation by you and your colleagues?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I could say this about all of the nominees that this president has. There's no one I can think of in America today that is better qualified for this time in our history to be the Secretary of Defense, because we have just gone through a destruction of our defense system for the past 8 years, and this is the guy that can do it. I don't think anyone got to him yesterday. I sat through the whole meeting, and there's several of them who tried and started talking about transvestites and all this stuff, but he stayed right on message, and he is the guy who is qualified, not just a tough Marine. You know, there's the big issue there is, should you have a military person in that role? And I think we all agree in a civilian military, but his situation is a little different because he has always been a 100%er in everything that he has done. You know, he doesn't even have, you might even say, a family life. Everything is the military for him. So
it is his family.
He is the best, he's the toughest guy, and we should not, I do agree with that you had to get a waiver because we can't have someone who's within 7 years of the discharge from the military in this role. It takes a legal waiver. Well, we got that last night.
Senator, let me just ask you quickly, one of the issues on which people have been trying to see if they've got daylight between him and the president-elect is on Russia. In light of what has been happening, not just with respect to this influence operation and hacking and so on, but something I know you've been very closely and monitoring and concerned about is for example, Russia's nuclear buildup and the threats that it's engaged in, should we be taking a hard line towards Russia, in your judgment, at this point?
Well, you know what we have to do, Frank? We have to acknowledge that Putin is our enemy, that he is someone who is not good for other people, not just in the matter of the United States of America. I happened to be over in Ukraine when they had their parliamentary election. I was with Poroshenko at that time. And they were so proud that for the first time in 96 years, there's not one communist in the parliament of the Ukraine. Now, immediately, Putin went in there and started killing everybody. And our administration, the Obama administration, took the position of, well, this is not. He's still someone that we have to coddle. And you've got to, you know, when you're dealing with people like that, you have to recognize that they're the bad guys, we're the good guys, and we've got to stand up tall in our military. So my feeling on that is exactly what the feeling of Mattis was. And you're going to have a lot of times when people will say, well, we have a new president who's made statements in the past. Yeah, he made a lot of statements in the past. Just keep in mind, he had to win an election, and he's made a lot of statements, and he also. Now, I say this firsthand, Frank, because I was called on the 9th of October and asked by him if I would come to the Trump Tower and talk, you know, around his round table. And so he wanted me there, I guess, from the military perspective and over-regulation perspective. And so I looked around that table, and these were people that he was listening to. These were people that he understands, know more about it than he does. So he will be changing some of his positions because he's surrounded himself with really good, authoritative people. And I think you're going to see strong positions coming out that are the result of people who are very well informed on these subjects.
Yeah, well, then among them, Jim Mattis, to be sure. Jim, we're almost out of time. Let me just quickly ask you about the other portfolio. You have been a champion in the United States Congress and in the Senate of a reconstruction of the aging, in fact, decrepit infrastructure that so much of our society and certainly our economy and our people rely upon. One question that I just wondered if you might speak to, Donald Trump has made it clear he intends to make a major investment in those areas. Is it important, in your judgment, as a national security-minded guy especially, that a focus of that effort be to ensure that we're not just building anew, but we're building resilient infrastructure? Particularly, I'm thinking of the electric grid, but more generally, that's got baked into it the idea that there may be people who are going to try to harm that infrastructure.
But let's keep in mind, the one who started the national system was President Eisenhower. And he did so, if you go back and research it, nobody remembers this, but he did so for national security purposes. You have to have an infrastructure throughout the country. So he has done that. Then there are always people coming along and wanting to get us off track, the whole thing on global warming and all that, to try to captivate the American people into thinking it's not important. No, the two things that are important in this country, the government has a responsibility for, are defending America, that's a strong national defense, and then our infrastructure, and it's not just roads, highways, bridges, but as you say, the energy infrastructure as well as all infrastructure. That's what we're supposed to be doing, to get the Constitution out and read it. You know, everyone should do that now.
Indeed. Sir, you have mentioned climate change. You have been a very prominent skeptic, shall we say. Has your view changed on this, or do you think that the election of Donald Trump, who expressed similar skepticism, suggests that, in fact, the American people are pretty solidly behind you?
Oh, I think they are. And this is, you know, the liberal Democrats are in denial. We do know that a very wealthy guy came along and started pumping money into the campaigns, the Senate campaigns. None of them won. And I remember in 2002 when I first started this thing. And by the way, if anyone wants to read my book, they'll hear, if they really want to know the truth about this, read my books called The Greatest Hoax. But that started in 2002. And if you remember, the first bill was the McCain-Lieberman bill. And we had to go down and defeat that. At that time, the polling showed that it was the number one or number two problem. You know what it is today, Frank? Global warming is now back to dead last at number 15. The people have caught on. They do know that the science is mixed on this, but they do know that the economics are not mixed. It would constitute the largest tax increase in the history of this country and not accomplish anything.
We will be following this issue with you, sir, I hope, often in 2017. Thank you so much for your service to our country, Senator Jim Inhofe. Next up, we will be speaking with Carolyn Glick right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.